This is Stealing Home. I'm David Temple. And this is Mike Rowe.
My name is Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty. Oh.
This is the intro to the show Dirty Jobs, which airs on the Discovery Channel. It's a reality show of sorts, where the host travels all over looking for people who do disgusting or filthy jobs. And while it can get disgusting and filthy, it's mostly about odd jobs, strange jobs. This is something that always interested me. People who have jobs you might not know about or even understand. The salesman who sells pliers to hardware stores. The artist who creates golf scorecards. The engineer who designs windows for commercial buildings. On the surface, these might not seem that interesting. But just the fact that they exist makes them so. The world is a complex place and needs all kinds of people to make it go round. I want you to meet Glenn.
Yeah, this is Glenn.
Glenn has kind of a weird job.
I'm the closer for the Minnesota Twins.
That's Glenn Perkins, for those of you who don't pay much attention to bad teams in the middle of the country. There are all kinds of strange jobs in baseball, but at least as far as the 25-man roster goes, the closer has to be the oddest job. Think about it. They are theoretically the best relief pitcher on the team, yet they tend to pitch the least. They usually only pitch for one inning, and only when their team is ahead, and only when the team is ahead by 3 runs or less. All so they can rack up a stat that only matters when it comes to the back of their baseball card. Look, I'm not going to go on a diatribe about the save stat or leverage indices, though I could. Trust me. I do want to talk about the bullpen, both as an idea and a physical space. Relief pitchers have their own little corner of the ballpark, and they just kind of hang out there until they're needed, waiting for the call. And as Glenn Perkins says, that's a whole lot different than being a starter, which is what most of these guys came up doing.
As a starter, you don't go there every day to play the game. You go there every fifth day to play the game. So when you're a reliever, my personality doesn't lend well to not having something that I need to do to get ready for that day. If I needed to get ready to throw a bullpen, I could do that. If I needed to get ready for a game, I could do that. But it was those other 3 days where it was just kind of like, I just felt lost. I felt like, oh, I guess I'm not going to play tonight, so I don't really have to do anything. And so now I go there every day, and it's preparation to get ready for a game. And I guess it's kind of a reverse where, you know, if I pitch 3 or 4 days in a row, then I'll have a day where I know I can just go there and veg out and hey, take it easy, I'm not going to play. So it's kind of a 180 of being a starter, and I've really fed off going to the field every day, knowing that I have a chance to play, and using that as my motivation to get ready for the day and do my work and that stuff. Something that I just couldn't do as a starter.
So there he sits, and there he waits. And when you sit and wait long enough with a group of guys who are also sitting and waiting, a certain subculture emerges.
There's definitely it's almost like a, you know, teams have like the pitcher group and the hitter group, and I feel like we're almost another group within the pitcher group where, you know, the way the Twins do it is the bullpen guys will go out and run early. You know, for a normal 7 o'clock game, we'll be out on the field at 3 o'clock running as a group, so the 7 or 8 of us will run, and the starters are kind of on their own program. So we spend a lot of time together. You know, we got the jokes, and we do a little thing down there where we you know, call that pass where you think a guy's going to get a hit or whatever, and you play a game with points and the whole deal, just kind of things that keep us, you know, together down there and some camaraderie. And, you know, it's a different bullpen and a different makeup than when I first came up in the pen with Joe Nathan and Jesse Crane and Matt Carrere and Dennis Reyes and those guys. It's different, but it's the same. We're a pretty tight-knit group where we spend a lot of time together on the road. Things like that where you spend so much time together, you almost have to be friends.
They have to be friends because they're the only ones who can relate to each other. They are the only ones who can sit and wait for the phone to ring, waiting to be asked to dance. They are the bullpen, a term which describes their roles on the team, but also the place they inhabit. And Glenn says, like a relief staff, the physical bullpen can vary in quality.
Tampa is terrible. I mean, that's just like the dome where you're down on the field. That bench is like a foot off the ground, so it's like at the wrong height, so your back all hurts. You're either slouched, or you're like you're sitting there and like your knees are at your ears. And that's probably really the only bad one. Getting down onto the field in Baltimore, it's like cobblestones. You feel like you're gonna roll your ankle. But it's a nice bullpen that's big, and I like Detroit's nice. They got an indoor area, which is always good, especially if it's hot. Same with Yankee Stadium, where you can sit inside, and that's nice. Kansas City's pretty bad. You stare straight into the sun. The first year that they moved their bullpen, they changed their bullpen. The Royals had that one, and then they flip-flopped. So we're on the third base side. We have to walk over to the right field to get to the bullpen, and they switched him because he's staring at the sun the whole game. So that's tough. I mean, Boston's cool in a different way where you're kind of all crammed in together. Like, there's room for eight people in a nine-man bullpen, with your coach. So, but it's neat. Like, that's it's got that charm, just like the clubhouse does. And the clubhouse is tiny, but you're like, hey, it's cool. It's Fenway. So that's okay. But, you know, I guess Tampa's tough. The Dome was the worst. I mean, at least in Tampa, you're at an angle. So you're kind of, like, angled toward the mound a little bit. The Metrodome, you were facing like you were parallel with the first baseline, like where you're looking straight ahead. Like you have to turn, you have to twist to see the field. At least in Tampa, you're turned a little bit, but their bench is like seriously like 6 inches too low. So that makes it tough. And you got fans right behind you. Oakland's the same way. Oakland's awful. You know, so it's stuff like that. It's, you know, we were just at Anaheim last night. Seattle's my favorite one, right above the wall. Right in play there, so that's neat to be there. But they, you know, most of the teams, they do a pretty good job. There's a few though that really aren't fun to be at.
I love this response so much. It's exactly the kind of response you'd expect to hear from a guy who spends so much time hanging out in these places. I have a friend who used to work at franchised coffee shops around the Twin Cities area, and he could explain the different coffee shops just like this. Which had the best bathrooms, the worst customers, the roomiest parking lots, the cleanest kitchens. I'm not comparing slinging fastballs to slinging lattes, but Perkins' description brings the idea of playing pro ball down to earth just a little bit. Makes it a little more real. And perhaps the most down-to-earth guy, the most like us of anyone in the bullpen, is the guy who I still submit has the best job ever. The bullpen catcher.
Our bullpen, our number one bullpen guy, Nate Damon, he is family friends with Dan Gladden. So when they got rid of our old bullpen catcher after 06, I think Danny recommended him. He was a catcher at Hamlin in St. Paul. And I think that Danny somehow recommended him. He got the job, and he loves it. You know, I think they do. I think guys love it. In some ways, it's a dream job. I guess, you know, money-wise, you do okay. I mean, I guess it's along the lines of being a teacher, where you only work part of the year. You make a pretty decent salary. But you get to be in a big league clubhouse. You get to be at big league games, 162 big league games. It's not too pretty off the field, where they have to rub up all the baseballs and Nate's got to get all the balls ready for BP, and he's got to make sure the equipment's out there. I mean, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. That's a lot of work, but you know, I think he loves it. And then our second guy is another, he used to be a catcher at Hamlin. I don't know where we got him from, if Terry knew him or if somebody must have known him and got him hooked up with the second guy. But our number one bullpen catcher, it's a full-time job. I mean, you know, so he gets all the benefits and all that. So you know, I think it's something that, that he loves to do. He has fun with it. He fits in great. He's one of my best friends. I've been with him for a long time. So I would have to say that they like it. And in a lot of ways, it's a pretty cool job.
I love the idea of the dynamic between a pitcher and a bullpen catcher leading to the two becoming best friends. That's like something out of a novel or a movie.
He's warmed me up for just about every appearance I've ever made out of the bullpen. And, you know, he takes pride in that too. Earlier this year, he was a little banged up. He had a sore back and that. And the other bullpen catchers catch all the guys. And then if I'd go to warm up, he'd, like, suck it up and be like, no, I'm warming him up. I'm getting him in the game. You know, it's almost that, you know, that superstitious thing where he's like, I have to warm him up. If it's the only thing I do, I'm warming up first. So, you know, I appreciate that. And that's the kind of things that's what makes the game so fun.
And watching over all of this, acting as a part parental figure, part psychologist, is the guy keeping tabs on everyone, the bullpen coach.
You're warming up and you'll say, man, I just can't bear that slider. And, you know, Bobby will say, you know, you'll be okay, son, you'll be okay. Just go out there and throw. Just trust yourself. Stuff like that where it's just real simple. And, you know, and then this is Bobby's first year. We used to have Rick Stelmazic, and you know, there'd be times, you know, where I'd be warming up as a setup guy, and I didn't know if I was going to get it or not. And you know, I'd say, man, I really need to get it with the stuff I'm throwing today. And he'd say, you know, hold on. He goes, I've seen a lot of no-hitters out here. You know, it all matters. It's what you do when you cross the lines. It's not about down here. You got to take it into the game. And, you know, stuff like that where they try to keep you kind of on an even keel. You know, but Billy and I did to know each other really well. And I had Bobby as a pitching coach in AAA in 2010. And he really helped me a lot to kind of get me back to the big leagues and have success from being a field starter. So, you know, those guys, I try to have fun with them. You know, I try to keep it light and not take it too seriously and, you know, until it's time to get to work. But before that, you know, it's jokes and it's kind of trying to mess around with them and keep them loose because, you know, they, I don't want to probably try to be Mr. Tough Guy Coach. He can have fun down there like the rest of us.
So many kids dream of growing up to be big leaguers. For many of us, that dream carries through to adulthood. And I don't know about you, but this has never made me want to be a big leaguer more. The camaraderie, the community, the friendships forged when you're confined to a small space with people is remarkable. It's almost like a college dorm. Except that you're all rich and have a job thousands of people try to get every year. Not to pick nits, though. Stealing Home is hosted and produced by David Temple. Hey, that's me. A big thank you to Glenn Perkins for taking time on an off day to speak with me. He's a stand-up guy who happens to be a very good closer, and you should all follow him on Twitter at Glenn_Perkins. Make sure to like us on Facebook and give us some nice iTunes reviews so the fine people at Apple will throw us back on the front page. That's it for this episode. I'm David Temple, and I'll see you next time on Stealing Home.